On this sweet 16th of February, we're glad you found time to check out our show. I'm Carl Azus. We're looking up today. There is a rogue rocket hurtling through space right now that's expected to smack into the moon next month. But where did it come from? That is a question that's been hanging in the air, get it, for years. At first, an independent researcher who studies orbital dynamics thought the object came from a SpaceX rocket that was launched in 2015. Other space experts and NASA agreed with him. But over the past few days, scientists said they came to the conclusion that the object isn't part of the SpaceX rocket because it's too far away from where another part of that vehicle flew. So again, whose rocket is it? Now the prevailing theory is that it's part of a Chinese booster that was launched in 2014. The rocket is expected to crash into the far side of the moon on March 4th. Researchers don't expect people to be able to see this from Earth. The rocket stage is expected to be completely destroyed and to make a crater anywhere from 30 to 65 feet wide. There are dozens of objects like this that people have lost in deep space, and an astronomer interviewed by CNN says no space agencies have done a thorough job of keeping up with them. So he says this highlights the need for organizations like NASA to monitor deep space junk instead of relying on private individuals to do that. And another researcher says more thought needs to be put into keeping outer space clean. That could start with more reusable spacecraft. And the spaceflight company SpaceX is trying to get its reusable Starship rocket off the ground. It can't test it in orbit for the first time until it gets the green light from the US government, and that can't happen until the Federal Aviation Administration completes its environmental review of the SpaceX facility in South Texas. Critics have said they're concerned that wildlife in this area could be threatened by SpaceX launches. The FAA report has been delayed a couple times, and it's now due out on March 28th.
I'm here at Starbase, Texas, where Elon Musk gave his first update on SpaceX's Starship program in 2 years. Now, I just want to point out that over my shoulder, you can see the Starship spacecraft, two of them, actually, and they are sitting there next to the Super Heavy booster. Now, the booster is what's blast that spacecraft into space, and that's essentially SpaceX's R&D facility where they've been iterating and working on the Starship program. Now, over my other shoulder here, I want to bring you to the vehicle being fully stacked. Now, it's on the launch pad, and it stands nearly 400 feet tall. The vehicle is completely reusable, and when ignited, this thing has more than twice the thrust of the Saturn V, which is, of course, the rocket that brought people to the moon during the Apollo era. So this is really a gargantuan vehicle. Musk spending a lot of time talking about why his company, SpaceX, is working on this program. He believes that Starship will be able to bring people back to the moon and one day to Mars. Take a listen.
Starship is capable of doing that. It's capable of getting a million tons to the surface of Mars and creating a self-sustaining city. This is the first point in the 4.5 billion year history of Earth that it has been possible.
Before they can launch from Starbase, Texas to orbit, they need FAA approval. And SpaceX and Musk hopes to have that in a matter of weeks, and they hope to make that first orbital test launch here from Starbase, Texas. Musk also laid out very ambitious goals of having 3 launches a day, painted a picture of floating spaceports, launching from Kennedy Space Center, really all over the world. So, this is a very ambitious goal of ultimately one day achieving that long goal of creating a self-sustaining city on Mars.
10-second trivia. The worst droughts that the U.S. ever faced occurred in what decade? 1870s, 1930s, 1950s, or 1980s? The U.S. government says the most significant droughts in American history were during the Dust Bowl period of the 1930s. The Dust Bowl covered several states in the central U.S. It was actually a series of dust storms and droughts that came one after another. Extreme heat was also part of it, and it's considered the benchmark for record drought in America. The U.S. government says droughts are normal, that they've happened naturally at different levels throughout history. But a new study suggests that between the year 2000 and 2021, a drought in the American West could be that region's worst in 1,200 years. The city of Los Angeles, California is exploring new ways to recycle water. It's not the only part of the world that's bone dry.
On the border of Spain and Portugal, a village, swallowed by the Zaziri River in 1992 to make way for a reservoir, has now emerged as a ghost. Visitors walking on the muddy ground cracked by drought found partially clapped roofs, bricks, and wooden debris that once made up doors or beams. Over the years, onlookers were able to see the roofs peeking out of the water during drought season, but the extreme drought this year has revealed the village in its entirety. The Iberian Peninsula, home to Portugal and Spain, is experiencing one of the driest winters on record, which is draining out reservoirs, worrying farmers and residents. Official records show Spain received only a quarter of the precipitation it normally gets in January, and water reserves are now at less than half of their capacity.
If in these months, when it should be raining the most, it is not raining, then the reserves don't refill. Also, their capacity, their water quantity, will continue to drop, and that can be quite worrying for the future.
In neighboring Portugal, drone footage shows boats docked along dry banks as river waters recede. Earlier this month, Portugal ordered five of its hydropower dams to halt water use for electricity production to save enough for people's daily use. Antonio Estevao is one of the farmers who is struggling to feed his livestock. Many are worried their crops for the season will be ruined.
Just over 100 million people in America are estimated to have watched Sunday's Super Bowl. It won't break the viewership record set 7 years ago when 114 million people watched, but the game is still the most viewed annual event on TV, and that's why companies pay so much to advertise during it, likely a record $6.5 million this year for a 30-second commercial. But advertisers don't always get the response they are hoping for.
Were you one of those people chasing a QR code around your TV screen during the Super Bowl, even getting down on your knees? Or maybe like this 95-year-old grandma, you were saying, "What is that?"
Did you get it?
No. Did you?
No, I'm filming you getting it.
Or maybe you were at a Super Bowl party with guests who rooted for the code more than for the Rams or the Bengals. It zipped around the screen for 60 seconds. A nod to the old bouncing DVD screensaver that became a meme, even ending up on The Office.
There's this cube on the screen, and it bounces around all day, and sometimes it looks like it's heading right into the corner of the screen, and then at the last minute it hits a wall and bounces away.
But where's Waldo?
Oh!
But this QR code commercial was for the cryptocurrency trading company Coinbase. And if your phone captured the code, you were supposed to get an offer for $15 in free Bitcoin for signing up. But a lot of folks got this instead. We're having connection issues. Others got planned maintenance in progress. What Coinbase apparently didn't plan for was this. We saw over 20 million plus hits on our landing page in 1 minute. This volume led to us temporarily throttling our systems. For some, someone else complimented the big brain of the guy who came up with that ad, but a critic tweeted the company should have saved the 7 million ad cost and spent it on your servers. Actually, 60 seconds probably cost at least $13 million. But who's counting when fans are cheering a QR code like it's a QB scoring a touchdown? Genimos, CNN, New York.
Some might have seen that and thought, QR not getting me to click. I've scanned ads before. This one seems a little cryptic. And even if it's code for a bit of coin, I get plenty of screen time without taking game time to screen the screen, then use a screen to screen, then scan the screen in time. Then again, some could just hit pause. I'm Carl Azus for CNN 10. Today's shout-out takes us to the Heights of Cleveland, where we are shouting out Cleveland Heights High School. Thank you for watching from Ohio and for your request on our YouTube channel.